This is RSBNB Update, episode 360, recorded Friday, May 11th, 2012. Evolving RuneScape with Bonfires. Hello, everybody. Welcome to RSBNB Update. This week, we are here with Trekkie, as he insists I call him rather than the other name.
I did?
Yeah. For the past 2 weeks, you didn't want me to call you J1, J2, J3.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Yeah, so here's your favorite two co-hosts. One in Canada, one in the U.S., unfortunately. So... But I think Trekkie's a good American.
That's debatable, depending on which side of the political side you're on. The political spectrum.
I was referring to you as a person, not the political spectrum.
Yes, but you know how people are. Americans,
yeah,
like to
some people.
Each other.
Yeah, even though we're all the same anatomically. All right, so... As we said, this week we were hopefully going to be sitting beside our bonfire, so we got this little virtual bonfire here going. What do you think?
I expected the bonfires to be bigger.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
That is the idea of a bonfire, right? Is that
they're not like this little thing. I mean, bonfires are huge. I mean, I know there's bonfires I've been able to see from half a kilometer away before. I'm sure everybody remembers Chief Snake. He once had a bonfire in his backyard that his friend was able to see across town. So, I mean, what we have on RS really isn't bonfires. They really should have made them take up at least a 3x3 or even a 5x5 space on the ground, don't you think?
Well, yeah. Well. Anyway, for those who haven't been on RS for a while, bonfire is the new fire making training method. What happens is back in the past, you would have to, in order to level up fire making, you would have to go in a row and burn every single having your inventory, head back to the bank, and repeat. But what they've done now is one person can start a fire, and then other people can throw logs into it, and. You can basically, it's another AFK trainable method.
Yeah, and the XP is faster than regular fire making, which is good, but it's not as fast as the curly toes from in the Jedinko. Yeah. I mean, that thing is 300k XP an hour. This one is only marginally faster than that, and it takes still about a minute or so to burn a full inventory of logs. So you're really not gaining that much from this, aside from the ability to not have to click as much, which is a good thing because, you know, it makes the whole thing less monotonous, just like RuneSpan did last week, and it also makes it more sociable. So let's say you want to get people together, you can actually do that and share experiences and whatnot and sing songs around the campfire.
Actually, I did that.
Oh, okay.
We turned the Citadel into Nine, and then we started a bonfire outside the little bank slot, and we started chit-chatting about what's been going on this whole week and what stupid things we've done in life.
Oh, okay, well, that's
good.
Because
found out there was a lot of people do a lot of stupid things in life.
Did anyone talk about Obama?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. Anyways. Political. So, essentially... We just described this entire update here, but there are a few other tiny things about this. Let's say you get some people together. The XP rate will increase. So you have, let's say you have five people around a bonfire, you'll get 4% more XP. So everybody gets this extra XP when you put a log on the fire. So it benefits to do it in a sociable setting, because over time, if you're going for level 99, for example... an extra 4% XP does indeed add up, and same goes for Ring of Flames and a Ring of Fire and Flame Gloves, because those will stack as well. So two people, you get a 1% boost. Three people, you get a 2% boost. Four, 3%, and then as we said, 5 plus 4%. So it's not as bad as we were expecting with regards to the bots. As, you know, bots would be taking advantage of this for fire making and greatly increasing the amount of XP gained. I think JX has to design updates with that in mind, because I know that the bots are always going to be around to do simple things like add logs to the fire making. Because really all you need to do to add a log is click the log and then click add to bonfire, and then your player will find the closest bonfire providing it's in range and add the logs to it. So you really don't even need to do that much.
Or you can, or one other thing you can do is just find a fire and then just right click on the fire and add logs to it.
Yeah, that's the other way of doing it. And, you know, all bonfires start with just lighting a fire, like you initially light a fire with either the bow or the tinderbox. I like the bow method of lighting a fire. That's nice and tribal. I actually did that in school once on a field trip. I lit a fire using a bow and two logs. No, it was good.
Yes.
That's the kind of stuff we do up here.
Anyway, one other little thing is also that if you do any cooking on a player made fire, you do get a slight 10% bonus to your cooking XP. And another thing is you attain a glow, a hearty glow. Basically, what this does is that it gives, if you contribute at least 5 logs in one fire in succession, you'll earn a temporary boost to your life points. It up to 10% depending on your level and lasts on the type of logs that you used. I did maples for a little bit, and I went to about 1080, which is quite nice. Yeah. You know,
they stack. So let's say you do one type and you do another type, you just add on, they last for a different period of time. So that's good.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think I would say a lot more people before fighting next, it's like, hey guys, let's start a fire and dump your fires in, and suddenly, all right, we're all nice and warm now, let's get going. But
yeah, just to speak on the life point boost, if you have between 90 and 99 fire making, you'll get a 10% boost, and then it goes down from there. So 80 to 89 is 9%, 70 to 79 is 8%, and so on. Magic logs last 60 minutes, U logs 54 minutes, maple logs 36 minutes, and they go down from there.
That's quite good, though. But
yeah, I mean, a 10% boost on your life points, that's pretty big. Were you able to test this if the life points regenerate to that maximum, or is it just a one-time thing?
You know what? I didn't try. I have to fight somebody in order to do that, and I don't think I can do it right now. But
yeah, that's what I was.
It hasn't gone down. That's what I remember. I was fire making for a while. It never went down. You know how usually with the booze, it goes down after a certain period of time. Every 25 seconds, it goes down 1 point. It didn't go down for me. Like it kept going. It stayed there, basically. Lastly,
I wonder if you get hit and you eat something, if that'll be your new maximum, or if it's just a one-time thing like a Saradomin brew. That'd be interesting to find out. If anyone knows, please do post in the show comments. That would be great.
Yeah, I think you can probably get it back up because it's not going down for me.
No. I mean, like if I come and hit you with my whip and then you take a bite of food, will it go back up to 99 or will it go back up to 1080 like you said? That's what I'm wondering.
Yes. Shane, do you really have to hit me with your whip?
Yes, I do.
All right, and lastly, every once in a while, you will get a free fire spirit, which will greet you. Will be grateful that you freed it, and will give you a small reward. So far, I think I got some, but
apparently it's 1 in 100.
I got some, but the thing is that it's not. The rewards are junk, but that might be because I'm using low level.
Why? Well, what did it give for you?
I was given like 3 gold charms, about 100 air runes, a crimson charm and green charm. So maybe because it's the type of wood I was burning, but it didn't give me very much for a reward.
Well, you know, it's just meant to be a little thing, so I don't think you'll be getting anything that great from it.
But then again, I am using low-level logs, so maybe that could also be why I haven't exactly experimented with Magic or Yu yet. I've been using Maples and others just to basically clean up my bank.
Yeah, so I don't know. Question is, what kind of thing will people be using to train fire making now? I imagine bonfires will be the new thing to do for log training, but for people who want to really go hardcore with the skill, you think they'll go back to this, or do you think they'll keep doing the curly things in the Judinko dungeon?
I expect them to keep doing curly dungeon. Why do this if you can get better experience? But it's also one of those. It's also one of those. If you have, you know, those of you who go to the island to get your resources, you get all that maple anyway. Maybe people may use it to burn them up.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
right.
So you might as, if you have it, and maples are literally dirt ass cheap right now. How much are they right now? They're 27 each. Wow,
oh, that's bad. They went up. That went up. I should check my kingdom.
Okay, but. Yeah, it went up slightly, but it's still dirt cheap compared to how it was before. Yeah. Hey, if you have the brain power to make maple longbows, it's good money.
Yeah. Why was I calling the things in the Jadinko there curly toes when they're curly roots?
You're thinking of something naughty.
I was? Anyways, I don't want to indulge anyone's mind, so I don't know where you're going with that. So with that being said,
but
overall, a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, overall, I think it's good and bad because one, I'm a little disappointed in the update. I expected the fire to change instead of just like, oh, I can toss a piece of wood into it.
Well, they did change. You can see what kind of log started the fire now.
Yeah, but then, you know, they didn't change the fire, though. The color of the fire, it didn't change how the logs look. I expected a little bit more from something called a bond.
It lasts longer if you use, like, a magic log. It lasts longer than a regular wood log.
Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those, like, I expected more, like, visually of the bonfire. Why is it still
so
small? Yeah,
they could have done that, made it bigger. But I guess the thing, from a development point of view, the way I would see it with the bonfire is that the fire is an interesting thing to model because it's transparent and it also emits light. And the fact that it's dynamic as well, meaning there's sparks and whatnot coming off it, maybe means they weren't able to make it as big as they wanted, ensuring that the frame rates would still be acceptable. And because just the way RuneScape is built, everything they do needs to be focused on making it look good with the minimal amount of resources. I remember reading one of their job postings a couple of years ago, and the thing for their 3D modeler they wanted somebody to be able to create high quality player models without using huge amounts of polygons, which translates to basically we want you to model things that look good, but we want you to use the minimal number of resources to do this because this is a Java based game and performance is important to us because we have a software rendering engine that a good chunk of people are using, and we can't exactly count on the high speed rendering of a graphics card to render polygons. So that's my guess as to why we saw the flares being small. But
then the other thing is, one other little thing is that, you know, they want you to start a small group of people and add up to it to get the most experience. So you need, you know, at least 5 people in order to get as much experience as you can.
Well, that's simple. You just go to the Grand Exchange.
I'm at the Grand Exchange and nobody's doing anything.
Oh, really? They were last night.
That's about it. Maybe because it was a new thing, but I haven't gotten that many people to join me. But could just be me.
Could be. Maybe they don't like the way you smell.
I shower every day.
Okay. So,
alrighty.
What were you going to... You said you were going to say something relation to this in RuneSpan. Something you don't like about both of these updates?
Oh, no, I didn't say it. I wasn't saying that. I said, well, one thing I didn't like about it, it's really AFKable, and it's kind of one of those things where, like, they're making the game not as interactive as it used to be.
Okay. Yeah, I could see where you're coming from with that.
It's one of those where it's like, you know, now it's really just sit back and wait, becoming more of that. And, you know, that may to make people just feel like, oh, well, I don't really need to play the game anymore. I'll just let the game itself do it.
Yeah, that's true. But there's also another reason they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Think of fire making. Fire making was one of the most botted skills that exists. So if they could make fire making enjoyable to the point where it doesn't need to be botted, maybe that's a good thing, because if they introduce this kind of automated fire making like this, less people will be resorting to fire making bots.
Yes, but yeah, those who want to bot, they'll do it anyway. But then again, they kind of didn't mini bot nuke, so that's all good.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think this is just another way of changing players' minds about what's monotonous and what isn't, and giving people the option to train something that doesn't need to be botted. I mean, you could say the same thing even about RuneSpan last week. Maybe this is one of their ways of combating botting. I don't know, but it seems like a fairly ingenious way of doing it without telling anyone. And the fact is, if something gives you the best XP, people are likely to use it to train, which is ultimately good for the game and good for botting, because if it's good XP, people won't bot it. Well, if it's easy, I mean. So that's my theory on this whole thing. But overall, yeah, actually, I think this update was a long time in the works, and it's good that we now have it, minus the thing you said about the appearance, but go ahead.
Before you even said anything about bots, I had thought about it last night, but we were getting off topic, and I said, oh, forget it. But I didn't think about this last night, about the whole bot thing. Oh, it's nothing.
Okay. Anything else we need to talk about with regards to bonfires?
No, we cover everything. Quicker and easier fire making. Yay!
Yay! Alright. Release notes for the week. Oh, I heard a lamp.
Uh-huh.
So, anything in here that you want to discuss?
Let's see. Graphics. Graphic issues, RuneSpan fix. So, if female Morton legs have knee pads added. Okay. Warning is now given to when a monkey machine is unequipped and dropped due to full inventory. Let's see. No, not really. Everything is all minor bugs and fixes.
Okay. Craft
light options, added all kinds of logs. That's been there for a while. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. This is a problem I experienced last week in the RuneSpan. Small missile platforms no longer ask for elemental runes when the player is missing a required mind rune. I looked at my thing and it's like, I have an air and an earth rune here. Why is it asking me for an elemental rune when it wouldn't let me cross? So it's good this is fixed, because I actually noticed this issue.
Hmm.
But anyways, not that many little fixes this week. So moving on to the next thing, Wild Weekends. The second weekend, this weekend, is double RuneSpan points.
Oh, God, what am I going to do with more points? They should have released this when RuneSpan came out. I bet a lot more people have more use out of it.
Yeah, not to mention also people probably have already... no life, the RuneSpan so much that they probably already have what they want, unless they're going for Steam 1 and lots of other things. So, but in any case, I think this is a good thing. It'll get people to RuneCraft. It's just too bad there's nothing more useful to buy with the points, as you said. What were you telling me last week after the show that you wanted to be able to buy with the points?
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
I seriously can't remember. I don't know what I said last week. I don't think I said anything about buying points. I said something about not a renewable source of resources.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which I'll get into that at a future date.
You know, I don't know exactly what I would go to Runespan for right now, aside from experience.
You go there for the pouch, but if you need runes.
Yeah, 91 or 90 runecrafting, I guess. But that's about it. I guess it's good to stock up because that pouch isn't like the other ones. It's not fixed by the repair pouch skill. Once it actually degrades, that's it for it. So you will need to buy numerous of them. So I guess that's a good thing that you can go there and just farm the points to buy the pouches.
And also keep in mind that rune essences and runes itself are dropping. So it might be a good time to buy.
Oh, maybe.
Bye.
Let's see what pure essence is at right now. Just using pure our essence. Grand Exchange portfolio thingy-ma-jig here. Pure essence currently 102 GP.
Up a little.
Fell quite a bit from 134 all the way down to a low of 92 a few days ago. Yeah, so it's on its way back up now. Maybe stabilize around 115.
I don't think so. If rune essence go up, runes have to go up too, and I don't see runes going up.
Nature runes have hit the floor since Runespan came out.
They're basically
146 GP.
And they're honestly at the same price of Astral runes right now. So if you get
you might as well just 82 and just do that instead of double natures.
Yep.
Nice. Well, not nice for runecrafters, but you know.
Good for I think almost any runecrafter is just going to do their rune span anyway.
Yeah, unless they want to do it nostalgically. And there will still be people that are going to do that. But anyways, enough about runecrafting again. That's evidence that they're making an impact. The fact we're talking about Runespan 2 weeks in a row. So next up is email validation rewards. So basically, you can attach an email account to your RuneScape account for anyone out there who didn't know. And in doing this, you get a little bit of extra security from Jagex. And if you do this, you also get a bit more bank space, as they added last year sometime. But this week, they also added an XP lamp and a unique cape. It's called the Cape of Validation. It's got like a little ribbon on the back. I don't know. It's just a nice little novelty item you can get. Also, the XP lamp, I think, is on par with a small Squeal of Fortune XP lamp, giving XP based on your level. I got 5k summoning XP, so I was happy about that. And you can claim both of these by visiting Dango and Drainer Village.
Yay!
The best part of this is the bank space. So if you're short on bank space and you've never validated your account, you can do that. It's really simple to do. All you need to do is log into the game, and you will be invited to validate your email through the quick and easy process, they say. So it's really simple to do, and you get bank space.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, it's free to play as well.
Yes. So. And that's good. I mean, bank space is such a premium, and even with 460-odd slots like we have now, I think they could still add more bank space, but...
I think if we keep adding more, we keep adding more junk in.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I have lots of stuff in my bank that I need to clear out. I got this entire tab dedicated to just junk. But it's not junk. It's quest reward items from the days when you couldn't get quest items back. I don't know if I'll be able to get most of them back now since they probably added destroy options. But do you remember the sled from the troll quest?
Yes, I made it before to do a small gift.
Yeah, I kept mine. I also have all my monkey gree-grees. I also in there have all the clue scroll items, like, you know, like the split bark helmet that you need for some clues. Just basically the one-off items that you never wear normally that you need for a clue or something in the junk tab. We're getting off topic here.
We always get off topic.
Next up. Evolution of combat. So this is... as was hinted to in last week's SOF response, essentially what we got here is combat coming up later this summer. Modern Mark here says it will be one of the biggest content updates in RuneScape's history. So that's saying something, because previously I think the biggest content update was construction. Not counting Dungeoneering, of course, because that's not a part of RuneScape. That's a part of a little subgame.
And so let's see. I'll just read off here. As this is a significant evolution of the game, we will be running our first ever beta test. Starting in the week commencing with the 25th of June, we value your input, and we know you are the best people to tell us what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. Now this is saying something, the fact that they need beta testers to do this. The only time else they did beta tests, I don't know why they're calling this their first beta test. RuneScape HD was released in, quote, beta first, and RuneScape 2 was as well. So, I mean, I don't know how they can call this their first beta test. Maybe it's their first true beta test, and the fact that there will be, like, a forum for people to submit issues and whatnot, an actual discussion area and tracker for everything, and maybe a whole different version of the game for this case, because the only time else they did a whole different version of the game was when RS2 first came out, and they had beta servers for that. Yes. Did you play RS2 beta?
Yeah, it was funny when my friend found out about the duplication bug that they had, and so basically people started duplicating full rune, full dragons, and all that kind of stuff, and started quote unquote selling them all over the place for high marks, or just dropping them everywhere. Basically, what happened with this one is you could remember how you can like deposit X amount of whatever item?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was this little glitch introduced that if you have only one item and you do the deposit X, it will give you that many. So people kept duplicated tens of thousands of dragon meds and dropping them all over the servers, and P-hats were rampant all over the place.
That's funny.
Yeah. I got, you know, within, after that came out, I got full ruin and full dragon just by picking stuff up.
Yeah, so hopefully we won't see any kind of issues like that here, because RuneScape is a much more mature game now, and it would be very bad if something like that happened.
Yes.
But I will be signing up. They say the details will be released next week. I hope that they're not going to just sign up anyone who wants to sign up, because the vast majority of RuneScape players will have never actually participated in a true beta test, and there's a difference between using beta software and whatnot, like some might do with Firefox or something for like that, and actually participating in a beta test where you're actually testing things and trying to break things and then submitting feedback. There's a big difference between the two. So I hope that it'll be a vetted process for that, because if it's just the kind of open beta thing, that will be just completely ruining things for their test cases and whatnot. So that's my hope about this. But I will definitely be watching for how to get my name on this list, because as you know, you too, Trekkie, we both played RuneScape for a long, long time, and combat has always been like this, so we know the way this thing's going to be.
It will be interesting. Let's moving on to our next topic, because we kind of beat this one to death anyway.
Yeah, MCM, more info.
So, anyway...
There's not much to say with this one. This is just a bit more information. For this.
And also for those who are thinking about participating, they have three little packages that you can get. You have the starter pack, premium pack, and deluxe pack, and each one is more expensive than the other. Basically, if you start out with a starter pack, you get 1 month of free membership, a small item with 10 spins, and 10% boost for 24 hours of game time. Premium is 3 months, little and extra spins. Deluxe is 6 months and more extra spins. And a t-shirt if you get the deluxe.
But the thing is, the vanity items given in these packs are the vanity items given out in the past for other certain membership promotions. So the vanity items really aren't the way to go about this, I don't think. But the XP boosts, 10% for the first for 24 hours of game time for starter, 3 days for premium, and 7 days for deluxe. And you also get 75 squeal spins on deluxe, 25 on premium, and 10 on starter. Personally, I'd buy the deluxe pack because it'd be nice to have that kind of XP boost all the time for 7 days. 7 days is a lot of game time, and you also get concept art.
And you get 6 months of free membership for $50.
Yeah, I guess.
So and you should, you know what, Shane? You should just buy it for that free for 6 months of membership.
I know. I wish I could get one of these, especially the concept art.
You don't have to worry about going. Just give me this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I wish there was a way to purchase this pack elsewhere. If anyone's going in the UK and you want to do this, and you have no issues shipping to Canada, talk to me and maybe we can work something out.
And one other little thing, they are also offering two ways for you to obtain free tickets in our MCM exclusive competitions.
But you have to pay for your airfare and accommodation.
Yeah, well, that's mom. They have the MCM Ticket Challenge and the MCM Costume Competition. Both ends in exactly 2 days from this podcast. So it's going to be it ends on Sunday, May 13th. So if you haven't done it yet, do it now.
Yeah, and there's also one other thing in this post that's interesting. We'll also be showcasing RuneScape on large screens, mixing it up between RuneScape videos, live concept artist work, and scapers playing live at the event. The main area will be dedicated to the most important thing, playing RuneScape. Take a few minutes out from the hustle and bustle of the event by sitting down with us and playing a little RuneScape. You never know, a friendly J-Mod may even look over your shoulder and offer some top tips. Then they also say down below that Mod Mark, RuneScape's lead designer, will be popping by the stand on Saturday. He loves nothing more than to talk RuneScape, so if you want to know why cabbages are so large or how long it takes to make an update or just ask some other burning question, Mod Mark is the man.
You should ask him for an interview on the podcast here, Shane.
Yeah, maybe.
we can send Creepy if you want.
No, that's okay. I'd rather send someone else. That's MCM. And there's also something else I read about MCM. I think Jagex is going there to introduce their new Transformers MMO. Yeah, that's right. Jagex is going to be showing off Transformers Universe at MCM. So that's probably the main reason why they're going there. I've just read this and I forgot to insert it into the notes, but that would actually be very interesting to see this unveiled there. I'm surprised there wasn't more cross-pollination between that and the RuneScape feed on RuneScape.com, because, you know, it's Jagex, so why wouldn't they both, you know, showcase their thing if they're actually unveiling it there? It seemed a little weird to me.
Oh, it's how it is.
So, anyways, that's it for RS updates this week. Moving on to the questions. You want to read the first one?
Alrighty, this question is from 300 Henry. Dear Shane and Slave, do you ever think you are the only normal one? And if you had to play or played a musical instrument, what would it be? And what's your favorite movie or TV show besides Star Trek? From your humble servant and humble servant comrade Weird. From 300 Henry. Well, normal is by perspective. A person who likes heavy metal, he considers himself normal. Those who like to kill people, he may consider himself normal. So it's really all in perspective, isn't it, Shane?
No? Yeah, it is. So
you know, narrow I think, your yes, I'm, narrow I think your term.
I am
normal.
The only normal one. Sometimes. Oh, yeah, I am.
Shane, if you went to a Comic-Con convention or Star Trek convention, then yes, you would be one of the, quote, normal ones because you're not super nerdy. But that's about it.
No, I'm also normal with people I know in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like bugging Mike to play Star Trek online for the past couple months.
No, I mean not that. I mean, it's normal on the sense of that I don't have any wacky beliefs or anything, like any Greenpeace beliefs or something, you know?
Okay. So, yeah, so define normal, because we're all normal in our own special way.
I consider myself as normal. I consider Trekkie as normal. There are a few people on the forums who I would consider as abnormal, but I won't name their names. Normal. Conforming to standard. Usual, typical, or expected. For example, it's normal for puppies to bolt their food. Normal working hours.
Okay.
And it's of a person free from physical or mental disorders. I don't think the people on the forums have mental disorders, but I think what I was referring to was normal in the sense of normal. Yes, that's right.
So. All right. And his second part of the question, did you or do you play a musical instrument? I don't think Shane does.
No, I don't. If I had to play one, I'd choose either the piano or the a flute.
Yeah, I used to play the flute.
Is it like a Picard flute?
No, it's the regular long one. Used to play it. I don't have it anymore. Asshole decided to steal mine. And what's your favorite movie or TV show besides Star Trek? And you cannot name Terra Nova.
Oh, it's too bad. I really hope that show continued. But aside from movie besides Star Trek, there's so many good movies that I like. I think I'd limit it down to a specific genre. Political thrillers, action movies that are based kind of on thrillers, I guess, that are just nonstop, kind of like the Bourne movies kind of thing, with a little break here and there of discussion like that. So those kind of movies in general I really like. I haven't been able to find that many of the great ones. I also like documentaries on stuff. Like there's a good documentary on a couple of weeks ago about the 2008 financial crisis. That was good fun. As for TV shows, I really am not a fan of much on TV. Reality TV shows, the only two I can stand are The Amazing Race and The Apprentice.
Why would you watch The Apprentice? Just see him fire people?
Yeah. Because it used to be good for business stuff. Like, it used to actually have business-based merits behind it. But nowadays, it's all The Celebrity Apprentice, so the people really don't take it seriously as the real people did. So that's kind of disappointing. But in any case, I really don't watch much on TV these days. Just got about one other show that's on currently break now, which is Flashpoint, which I've mentioned before. So,
oh, yeah.
Your turn.
Favorite movie? It's hard to pick. Let's see. I guess the most recent one that I've seen was Red Tails. I thought that was pretty decent. It's about just Tuskegee Airmen back in World War II. They kind of redid the old one, and it was okay. Although I hated the end. I thought the ending was kind of garbage. And there was another movie that came out more in China, in Hong Kong, called Shaolin, which was pretty good. Nice action, a lot of old celebrities that people grew up with. That was a good movie. TV shows I'm following right now are The Borgias and Game of Thrones. Throw in Spartacus. Oh, best series ever. Oh, and True Blood. I'll just throw that in there.
What is The Borgias?
It's about the Borgia Pope back in the day, and kind of it's like a little family drama.
Oh, okay.
Throw in some murders and political stuff and some holy wars, and you're all good.
All right. Thank you, 300 Henry. Next one's from Duke Juker. Four questions, apparently. Will the rune crafting calculator be updated to account for the rune span? That one is a little bit hard to do because it's there's no way to count how many bloody skulls, for instance, you'll siphon, or how many S wraiths you'll siphon from that. So it's a little bit hard to update for that. I think what we got to go from there is XP per hour. So we really can't update a calculator for the Runespan. Just like you can't have a calculator for the Living Rock Caverns, because it's still gold ore, but you don't know, but it's a different rate. So it's different as to how many you want to count. So it's just based on XP. So we really can't update it, because there's no way to know. You're going in and you're going to say, today I'm going to siphon 500 bloody skulls. There's no way to count how many of those you're going to do, and there's no way to ensure that there will always be a constant supply of bloody skulls there. You're going to, of course, change it up with other things like the blood S-wraiths and maybe other little nodes as well. So that's why it's hard for us to update.
But you could always give them just an idea of how many to get.
Yeah, we could do that, I suppose.
How would you do that with fire making? It's also a completely different thing.
The thing with fire making, the way the bonfires work is you get the same old XP that you get for starting the fire. So, for instance, 60 for an oak log, 40 for a regular log, 202 for a yew log, you get that for starting the fire. But you get a different amount for putting a log onto the bonfire. 50 for the regular log, 85 for the oak log, and 260 for the yew log. So what we would do for the fire making one is we would say, add log to bonfire, add yew log to bonfire, and have the XP associated with that. So that will be added to the calculator. I will do that sometime today. Also, with regard to cooking, that one's a little bit hard, because the cooking one is a flat 10% XP boost, and we don't have anything in the calculators right now to just say toggle us on for an extra 10% XP, so that one probably won't be happening. And with one more thing in regards to this, I think sometime this year we will have some other version of a calculator out that will tip everyone's... We'll basically turn the idea of a calculator upside down.
Yay!
It's a very innovative idea, and nobody's done anything like this before. And it'll actually be more useful than these pure number calculators that you see everywhere.
Yay!
That's all I'm going to say about it, because if I say any more, we'll give the idea away and someone else can copy it.
Aww. All right, third, what is your favorite video game?
Of all time or right now?
Just keep it simple. Just do it for right now. Like, what's on your list of top five, I guess?
I can't do that.
Pick one that's on your list of top five.
Nothing stands out right now for being a good game.
Okay, all time then.
All time? My favorite game of all time? Tribes 2. There we go. That's what I wanted to say. Right now, I like StarCraft, but I find it way too stressful to play. Because I can't stand making the decisions and having the decisions result in the loss of a game. So that's why I like it when Trekkie comes, because we can make him make the decisions and put the blame on him.
Yes. Or the other person that usually gets into it, but yeah. Let's see, for me, what's my favorite video game? Let me check my shelf, see what I've gotten. let's see. I do buy video games.
Oh, I'm also pretty fond of TF2. If I can get a good server and a good group together. I like beheading people as a demo man.
As for what will be on my list of top five, I would have to say Witcher 1, because that game was freaking awesome. As for future games, I want to say I'm really looking forward to Guild Wars 2. And for those who may ask in the future date, I really do not care about Diablo 3. So there, I said
okay.
I really don't care.
Thank you.
And lastly, Shane, has any free-to-play member ever win the Skill of the Month?
I'm not sure about that.
I don't think
so. I'm not sure, because we don't know if anyone's free to play. But nowadays they can't because free-to-play are not ranked, so free-to-play can't compete in Skill of the Month.
Oh, Shane, this is your favorite question before. Next.
So thank you, Monsieur Duke Juker.
Oh, you're going to love this question, Shane. Dear Han Solo and Chewbacca, what is your favorite Star Wars movie? And also, what is your favorite Star Wars character?
I put this one in here just 22. For you. I put this in here just for you because Marking might not know that I don't like Star Trek. But just for the fact of doing this, I abstain from answering this question.
Come on.
No.
Favorite movie? Can't pick one. They're all good in their own special way. Let's see. I guess in terms of rewatchability, probably the fourth one. I would say the fourth one is always one of those timeless classics. And for my favorite character, I don't really have a favorite Star Wars character. Yeah, I don't really have one. They're all good in their own special way.
What about your Wookiee that you want in RuneScape?
Yeah, I want Chewbacca, but, you know, he's a Wookiee. He's not... all he does is growl. You know, he needs to take some acting lessons.
And there's the whole point about Star Wars versus Star Trek. You get this character that doesn't growl, whereas most of the aliens on Star Trek are actually intelligent.
Right, Shane... Lay off the
like
tube
grubs. Species 8472, for example.
Lay off the tube grubs. All right, moving on. Moving on. All right, question from Dark Abyss 757. Dear Shane and Monkey, I hate you already. I have recently been reading through the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson, and I am loving it. Have either of you read it? From Dark Abyss. No. Shane, yes?
Yes, I'm working on it, and... the Steve Jobs biography embodies everything that was Apple and everything that is Apple still kind of under that was under Steve Jobs, all the way from the way his meticulous work from making product decisions at the top end, micromanaging certain aspects of the company. I think that's what truly made the company successful. And all the way from the beginning of this, from the very early days of the first Apple computer to all of his other little things, everything prior to his return to Apple in the mid-90s made that Steve Jobs what he was. And that's kind of, I think, what the book is pointing towards. And ultimately, I think that's what makes Apple what it is today. And I think... a lot more people need to see that and embrace that. And if they would just embrace that idea and trust the company, that the company knows what's right, lots more people would use Apple products and be happier computer users. Just like if you would have got an iPhone instead of your Android phone.
I hate iPhone.
Why? What's wrong with an iPhone?
Because I prefer to have a physical keyboard, which my old phone did, and if I had waited another 2 weeks, I would have my keyboard phone. I was like,
well,
I was
got a BlackBerry.
Ticked. I got a Bionic, and I don't like BlackBerry. BlackBerry is a crap.
What? I don't. There's one point we agree on. I just don't see the point of a physical keyboard on a phone.
Shane, I can text faster with a physical keyboard than I do with the screen.
And you still have your old phone with a physical keyboard?
Yeah, it's around the house somewhere.
We should have a race as to who can type a paragraph out faster.
No, I broke that phone really bad.
Oh, okay.
There's no more. I don't have any contract with Verizon on that phone anymore. I just started hacking it to bits, and I completely screwed it up. It's one of those like I screwed it up so bad that even warranty would not cover it.
Software wise, or.
Yeah, software-wise, and I can't get it to back to factory setting because it keeps messing up. But there's no point in trying to fix it.
There's always a way
anyway.
To get it back.
Yeah, but that thing's beyond dead, so I'm not going to bother with it. So, yeah.
All right. I highly recommend everybody get a copy of that book and start reading it, or at least the audiobook if you don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Next question is from Optimaniac. My question is mostly for Shane this week. I recently started enjoying agility and was wondering if it would be good to go to Gnome Advanced at 80 or wait until I was 85. Thanks, Optimaniac.
I started doing around 82 or 83 because of the summer pies. At least it gives you, you can save some pie slices along the way.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to suggest. I think about 83 is good because that's the sweet spot of when you don't fail that option. I think you completely stop at failing at 89, if I remember correctly. Start around 83 and use summer pies. That's a 5 XP boost, and you'll be good.
And because every time you take a bite of the pie, that's equals to one run if you're at 80. And so basically every single run you have to eat a slice of pie because of the of how the stats decrease. But the junky part is if you don't time it right, when you eat it, you may end up having the tick, and so therefore you just wasted a bite, which is I found really annoying. So
yeah, that is something annoying.
So I started doing it around 80, 83 because I didn't want to deal with having to eat multiple times per one run.
Yeah, I think that's around the same time as I started too. So 83 is probably good.
Yeah. And you know, and
I didn't swap to the Barbarian Advanced when I got the right level because I didn't feel the need to do that. So, I mean, the XPs are perfectly fast enough at the Gnome one that you can just keep doing that all the way to 99 if you want. You could swap and do the same thing at around 88 or so to Barbarian, I believe. So, or no, is it Barbarian Advanced? I forget what level Barbarian Advanced starts.
Barbarian Advanced is 90.
Okay.
Barbarian is 90, Gnome is 85.
Oh, okay. So yeah, definitely around 83 or so, I think, would be good then for you.
Because then you'll save some slices here and there. And, you know, for what you get, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, so the same thing if you want to start Barbarian Advanced at 88, that would be good, but I really didn't see the point to doing that.
Alrighty, so you want to take the next one?
You can take it.
No, you take it.
Oh, okay.
You get the essay.
Yeah, let me just have a drink here first.
Need your scotch, eh?
No. Question from Ring. Dear host of RSBNB Update. RSBNB Update, emphasis. Do you think Jagex has reached its climax? They brought back the wild and free trade to appease players. They've also made quasi-crap updates, his word, not mine, to keep the players from noticing the lack of quality updates. Is the end soon? Is Jagex beginning to fail? Will more people like me begin to lose interest in the game and cancel their subscription? Also, do you support people lying about their age to achieve online accounts? For example, I could help my 10 to 12 year old sibling get Facebook. Is that wrong? Or do you think by laws protecting children digitally, 13 plus law, are ineffective? Personally, I've been lying about my age since I was 10. I'm going on 17. Now I'm encouraging my siblings to do the same thing. I'm just curious to know your opinion. Thanks and keep up the great show. I sometimes listen to your show while driving my siblings around. Shane, my brother, calls you the blue guy for some reason. P.S. Trekkie, do you love me?
No.
Anyways, so the first part of this question, is the end soon? No, I think Jagex has quite a few years of development on RuneScape left. Is Jagex beginning to fail? No, definitely not from a monetary standpoint. Maybe in the views of some of the older players, but I don't think so. And will more people like me begin to lose interest in the game? I don't know. I think the combat update this summer is going to change things, and just like Construction did, bring a lot of people back. Because you remember when Construction came out all those years ago? It was an update everyone was waiting for, right?
Yes, and also they released a ton of new servers just for the load of new members that became members. The mass amount of people just flooded in.
And construction was something people wanted since RS Classic. And, you know, if this combat update is done right, this could be the same kind of thing as that, because it'll change the way the biggest chunk of RuneScape works. I mean, everything in RuneScape is based on combat, practically everything. So if they change this, it's changing a core component of the game, and maybe they can get some of these people back and get them interested in the game again, if combat is more dynamic than just point and click, because, you know, how thrilling is point and click, right?
But so, then again, if they make it more interactive, then people may get frustrated because they cannot know no longer AFK train.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't see how JX is failing because, quite frankly, I mean, the people who own 50% of the company, the U.S. investors, do have a substantial amount of money backing behind them. So it's not like JX is just going to disappear, and it's not like they're suffering so much as they were back a few years ago when the first bot thing happened. So they were hit a bit by this, but it's not, I don't have the perception that it's as bad as this. And we know they're profitable because Jagex being a company, you can look the company up in the UK and you can see how much money they bring in, and they're making a huge amount of profit. So, and I mean, in the order of millions of dollars. So it's not as though the company's in jeopardy or anything like that. So the answer to your questions in the top is no, no, and no, I think. Do you have anything?
No, not really for this one. I try to play for enjoyment. Don't play because you have to. That's one thing I've learned when I quit a few years ago. When I started playing, I would play because I had to do this and this and this, but I wasn't enjoying it anymore, so that's when I stopped.
Yeah, and you see, that's what I've been feeling like too. I have to do this, this, and this, for whether it be the show or just because I need to get there. But it's not enjoyable. Like I know, for example, I want to get 99 Constitution or hit points rather, and it's just not enjoyable doing Slayer for me. So maybe I'll just hold that off until the combat update. But I do want 88 summoning, and I am pretty close, I think.
What are you now?
Yeah, 86, but I think I have a good chunk of the charms banked. Yeah. I'm just waiting to see what this double XP 250k thing is at the end of May. But hopefully. Second part?
Which part?
Is it wrong? Is it wrong to help a younger sibling get like a Facebook account or something?
Well, as long as mom is okay with it, and mom and daddy takes control of it and knows what they're posting, that's fine with me. I mean,
okay.
Let's think about it, Shane. Every time, if you take a look at video games, how many times people buy M-rated games for their kids? And
yeah, that's true.
You know, so if you're going to single them out,
I guess that's the
same
kind of thing. This is here, gonna, but the problem with the internet is it's just a little age selector, so there's no way to make sure and validate this, which I think is a problem on the internet.
Yes, if we had it your way, Shane, you would require a state license to do that, but let's not get into that.
Yeah, I would require a unified ID on the internet if you want to use certain websites like Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot. And there's nothing wrong with that. These are huge companies, so there's nothing wrong with providing that information to Facebook or Twitter, I don't think, like your driver's license number or something, so they can verify it with whatever state you're in to see that, yes, you are indeed Mr. ABC, and you are indeed born on January 1st, 1975.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's how old you are, but...
Uh-huh. Close enough.
I don't think that young people should have access to those kind of things because, you know, there are things that are objectionable that are, of course, posted there, and it does open up a whole can of worms to other kind of bad people on the internet, I guess. And just the fact that at that age, the parents should still be determining what the kids do on the computer, I think. And I'd be interested to know why he calls me the blue guy. Perhaps you could ask him for me.
What do I have to ask him?
No, I mean, I'm talking to Fire Ring. Ask his brother why he calls me the blue guy. Perhaps he could ask him.
Oh. Maybe he thinks that you hold your breath for too long, and that's why you're suffocating yourself.
So I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it for questions then.
On to tech news.
First one. So, okay. Democrats to employers. Democrats to employers. Stop asking for Facebook passwords. That's been in the works for a while.
What do you think?
Well, why do employers need their Facebook password in the first place?
Exactly. It's like an employer asking for the keys to your house to search. Shouldn't this be protected by one of your constitutional amendments down there?
Freedom of speech or piracy? You know what? When it comes to internet, we're all relatively behind because we don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same kind of thing. It'd be similar to somebody asking for the keys to go into your house.
Mm-hmm. But then again,
there should need to be a law for this. I think it should just be evident that it should be illegal to ask for these kind of things. Yeah, common sense kind of thing.
And common ethics, common business ethics.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't have to turn over a set of keys in order to get a job. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then by all means, just make your profile private, make yourself not searchable, and just say that you don't have one, and problem solved.
Or just do what I do and don't have one at all. Yay!
There you go. That works as well. But still, I mean, they shouldn't be able to ask for your password.
But, you know, it's also one of those things where I don't think many people do it now, but they used to do asking very personal questions about you. And that became outlawed because it usually did affect.
Well, that's okay, because you get to know about the person before you hire them.
Well, I mean like very, very personal questions, which doesn't have anything to do with the job. Yeah. It's like, don't ask, don't tell. Why is it any of your business?
See? Don't ask, don't tell is a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it just seems like common sense to me that this should be something that isn't needed because it's yours. And like you said, business ethics kind of thing. Who is in control of the data and whatnot? And if people are actually concerned about that at Facebook, maybe that's part of the problem with Facebook. And maybe that's why people should move over to Google Plus or something like that, because Google Plus is actually more upfront with your data and what's going on, whereas you don't know what Facebook is going to do with it. I know in the past there's always been things in the news where people have had profile galleries and whatnot made public. They had a whole bunch of other stuff made public that they didn't want made public. So you really got to ask who you're giving this info to. But going back to the top, this seems like this should be something that's based on common sense, and it should be protected by whatever statute protects it in whatever country you're in. Just like you can't have somebody come in and search your house without a warrant or something like that, you know?
Hmm. Well, people are not smart. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, people are not smart, and they're too concerned about getting the job or whatnot, and they'll just hand it right over. So, anyways, that's good. And, you know, I think that's one of the few laws suggested by the Democrats that I actually agree with. Anyways, next up, first signs of Google's new semantic search spotted and put to good use. So this week there was a Google Doodle. Those are the little things that appear on the Google homepage, and you click them, and they're a nice little picture, and they take you to some information about a certain person or event. This week's Google Doodle was about Howard Carter, and there was a screenshot sent in. It hasn't been made public yet, the semantic search, But the idea is that you search for this person, and they'll give you a brief rundown of who he is and whatnot, and what his claim to fame is. So, for instance, it says Howard Carter was an English archaeologist and Egyptologist, known as the primary discoverer of the tomb of some long word, born and death dates, where he was buried, the cause of death, and his parents. And of course, also part of it, a bunch of other info, like things other people searched for. So, what do you think?
Alrighty then.
Meh, Google does what they do. You either don't use it or you use something else. But they're more or less all run the same thing.
And, you know, there's a reason Google's doing this. They want to become more than just a page that links to other pages. They want to be like Wolfram Alpha. I don't know if anybody out there knows about this or uses it, but Wolfram Alpha is pretty much a discovery engine. You enter something in, and it will find all this kind of information on the internet relating to this person and just display it in one place. And that looks like what Google's trying to do with their semantic search. So, for instance, if you insert Howard Carter into this, it's got all his death, birth places and whatnot, and a picture of it.
So basically, it's just making a Wikipedia on Google page.
Yeah, pretty much using all the information Google has and putting it together here. Like, for instance, if you search Adolf Hitler, date of birth, April 20th, 1889. Born in Brunau, Upper Austria, Date of death, April 30th, 1945. Berlin, in Germany. And it's got all the other info with relation to his supposed leadership positions and other notable facts. Like, for instance, he was rejected twice by the Academy of Fine Arts Vienna, cited for unfitness for painting.
Yes, history would have changed if they had taken him in.
Yes, they should have. But so you can do that for pretty much anyone. Like, so you can say George W. Bush. Let's see what it says about him. He's 65 years old. Was born in Connecticut. Governor of Texas between 1995 and 2000, and 43rd president of the U.S. And under his thing, for instance. Enacted sweeping tax cut and signed the No Child Left Behind Act.
That was a great act.
I don't know exactly what it was, but I heard it wasn't that great. No Child Left Behind.
I'll get into more of it at a later date with you if you want to know more about it.
Okay. Anyways, so that's the whole idea behind semantic search, to take a few words and find, like, what would this mean, or what are you looking for? Because, you know, there are words that have different meanings when you chain them together. So that's the whole idea of being semantic, is how do you find things that are most relevant. Our last piece of tech news for the week is Google's self-driving car was licensed in Nevada.
Woohoo! Reno! Vegas!
So you'll be able to see Google's self-driving car in Nevada, and it will be learning the roads, and basically they're going to be doing a whole bunch of testing on this. And yes, there's a picture here of it actually on the Las Vegas Strip.
You know what do you think? Well, First of all, whoever's in that car in the driver's seat should put his hands out the window and see what happens. that's going to turn a few heads. I think it would be good because then we can, you know, drive. Like, in theory, what they want in the future is if we have all automatic cars to be able to drive, like, you know, 300 miles an hour and basically get to almost anywhere in, you know, a quarter of the time.
And the idea is that a computer will be able to make faster decisions than a person and use direct input from sensors and whatnot on the car rather than relying on a person's eyesight and reaction timing to keep a person safe. So,
but,
I mean, in theory, it's a good thing, but the question is, how do you How do you make sure the algorithms are fine-tuned enough that they can support any condition? I mean, here you can get absolute blizzards where visibility is nothing. So how do you make sure that the car will be able to drive carefully in that?
Actually, I'm also hoping that they do not encourage doing other things while driving. Since it's all automated, well, what's to stop somebody from taking a quote-unquote nap or texting somebody or talking on the phone?
I think that's where Google wants to end up eventually.
But then, like, with all automated things, what happens when it fails? Then you're kind of screwed. Like, how do I drive a car again? Shane, remember, Shane, human beings are not exactly the brightest bunch in the bush when we don't, you know, it's one of those old sayings, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah, there's an example here, because what happens at, like you said, the whole automated car, if it fails, how are you going to drive the car kind of thing, right? And you'd be off the road. I don't think, at least not for the next 20 years or so, we'll see fully automated cars. I think we'll start seeing more automation because, like you said, you don't want to have a car that fails and you don't want to turn everything over at this point. Humans aren't ready for that. But what I think you will see is a greater degree of automation to the point like airplanes, you know. Airliners, for example, are automated with their autopilot, but at any time the pilot can take over and fly the plane if there's something that happens to it. So that's the kind of thing we'd like to see here. And, for example, if a pilot is flying a plane without autopilot and something happens and, say, they push the yoke all the way in, modern planes actually have protection in there to prevent the plane from going into too deep of a dive to prevent it from actually falling out of the sky. And same kind of thing with stalling a plane. There are protections to prevent planes from doing that. So I think we'll see kind of things like that with cars where there will be maybe like assisted braking or something if it detects that you're too close to a different car or something, like it'll slow the car down. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of thing we're going to see.
But the other thing, well, interesting you brought up the airline, because a couple of years ago, FAA ran a study and found that most pilots don't even know how to land or fly a plane anymore because of how automated it's been. And they did a small mock-up test, and most of them failed miserably.
That's true. But, I mean, that just comes down to testing, ensuring that pilots are actually able to do that kind of thing. So the same thing would need to happen for cars.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said before, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah, so, but, you know, yeah. And
I think
as long
what
as
I'm
you're able
is,
to do it in an emergency is okay, I think.
What I think it should be, though, is that, you know, keep in freeways, you know, big interstates. It's okay to have automated systems because you're going such a long ride and people usually do fall asleep. Locally, I think once you hit the off-ramp, it turns off. It gives like giant warning, please put hands on steering wheel. So locally,
yeah, something like
it should
that.
Be manual and
because
high speeds. It's, well.
And that's like the thing with planes too. Most planes are take off and land with the pilot control actually. The only time they use autopilot is once they're actually up in the air. So that's kind of like what you're suggesting as well.
Mm-hmm. But I do say this though. I do love cruise control. It's so helpful. I do love cruise control. I just set it and then like, you know what? I don't care if you want to go faster. There's three extra lanes on the left and right. You want to go around me? Go for it. And if you're a jerk,
What if someone gets in front of you and decides to slow down?
Then I go around them. If I can go around, I go around, and if I can, I'll just slow down.
All right. Okay. So overall, it seems like we're in favor of a bit more automation.
Use it or lose it.
Yep. So, May skill of the month now. And we do have a lead change since last week. Thank you, everybody, for that. The May skill of the month is dungeoneering, for anybody that is not aware of that. Currently, Alta is in the lead with 1.8 million experience gained. Second place is Metal Maniac with 1.2 million experience gained. There's another lead change as well. Last week, he was in third, I think. And third place is Sunset Fish right now with 739,000 experience gained. So complete shakeup from last week. Thank you, everyone, for doing that.
I'm loving all the zeros.
All the zeros?
Yeah, those who didn't even get one dungeon experience, I see zero, 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 zero. Wow.
Yeah. Well, dungeoneering is easy to do once you have a good group and everything. Like these people, 46k or 47k XP, that's about one large dungeon run in the 70s, I think, or so.
Yeah. One large dungeon run. Abandoned levels too, depending on how high your level is.
Mm-hmm. So. Alright, so congratulations, everyone. Keep going. Yeah, it is, but...
It's just time-consuming sometimes. And you get stupid people that you just want to smack. or tell them to uninstall RuneScape.
Which you can't do, because it's a browser game.
I can make them uninstall the Internet Explorer or block it completely.
Okay. So, achievements of the week, we just got one this week, and that is Barrage Tank with 99 magic. So, congratulations to you on May 6th.
Yay!
I believe you have a pick now.
All right. So, Shane, while in the backseat of the car, have you ever heard a song that you kind of like, but you don't know the title of it?
No.
All right. See?
But that's what Shazam is for.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, let's say that one day you remember a song, it's like, I cannot remember the song, but I do not remember the title. Well, this little website here is kind of nifty. You can actually hum the song, or sing to the tune of it, and it'll actually search for that song for you. You have to give it control of your microphone, and you sing for 10 seconds, and it gives a pretty good match of songs of when I was testing it.
Are you going to give us an example?
Kind of hard to give an example like this. This morning I was singing to Ode to Joy, singing to the melody, and it did pop up a couple orchestras here and there, and a couple of remakes that they did, remakes of the song. I don't know how that is possible. It's mostly, I think, English and some European artists. I tried doing some Chinese ones, and they had some hiccups. So it's one of those.
Yeah, well, it's an entirely different language. So.
Uh huh. But it was interestingly enough, when I sampled the demo that they have for the other songs, and some of them were almost the same as the other one. So I understand where they came from.
That's interesting.
So kind of the melody is almost the same. Just slightly different, or different tone, different beat or rhythm, but also
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I guess there's lots of things with the same melody or something. Then I guess I don't know.
Yeah, but you find your song that you were looking for. You can buy it on here if you want, or just go back to iTunes, I guess, and get it from there, or get your CD that they'll show you the CD with the song. Maybe you can sample the other songs there and see if you like it.
Come up with, because. I'm just talking into the thing right now, so that should be interesting.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, and so uploading? I see. All right, didn't find anything, but anyways, okay.
But, I thought it was interesting because I remember a couple of years ago that they were actually testing this software out at MIT. There was a little documentary on the History Channel a couple of years ago about music and hearing, and people at MIT were trying something like this, where they would sing or hum a song, and it actually came up for them in their prototypes. So this has been a long way from a couple of years ago. So I thought it might be interesting for those who remember a song, but they can't remember what's it called.
To check it out and hopefully get a recommendation from it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds you may, good to me.
People may enjoy it.
Right. So, thank you for the pick. Just a little update on our videos from last week. The production time for the videos is a little bit too long for my liking. So what we're going to try and do is scale back the videos to just a point where we're just covering the RS update section. Because, quite frankly, I don't have the time, nor do I want to spend, nor do I want to do two productions of this show. We're primarily an audio show, and I think that's where it excels, because you can listen to it while doing other things. And we don't want to, of course, encourage people to the video version and then think that, oh, maybe they're missing something in the audio version or something like that. So we're just going to keep trying for the RS portion of it and see how that goes, but this is still kind of a beta project, so expect more changes in the coming weeks. So I just wanted to update you on that, and of course you can find all that at youtube.com/rsbnbstaff. All right, so what have we been doing? You can go first this week.
All right, well, I was at RuneSpan for a little bit because I heard there was a nerf coming, so I decided to prepare myself as a just in case. So I got 83 runecrafting, so I can do the bloody skulls and get double astros. Yay! And I'm happy with that.
I don't think there is a nerf coming, is there? I think that was probably just a rumor.
Yeah, it was a rumor going around, but, you know, I thought, well, why not? I'm close to it anyway. Remember what I said last week of, you know, you got 80, then you want 82, then you want 83, and then you want 85, and then you want 90 and 91, and so on and so forth. And so far, I've been on point with, because some people, Marking hates me right now, because, you know, he said, I'm addicted to runecrafting because I want to get that extra level. I told you you would do that, wouldn't I?
Yeah, so there we go. I mean, it's an addiction. Anything else that you've been doing this week?
Did a little bonfire earlier today to test it out and try and figure out what to do for summoning, and did a little bit of slay.
All right. Sounds a lot like my week, too. My primary thing this week has been some slaying. I did an Abyssal Demon task. Still working up to level 88 summoning. Where do you do them?
Dungeon.
Okay. Oh, right, they're in Curadel's dungeon. I completely forgot about that. Oh, jeez. I feel like an idiot now.
Yay!
But, anyways, aside from that, just, as you said, the bonfire update and water fins for charms. I think I have enough charms, but I want to wait to see what this double XP thing is at the end of May. Because if I can save money on summoning, I'd gladly do that. I mean, 250k bonus XP? That sounds like a good deal to me. That's definitely something I want to take advantage of if I can. And aside from that, not much. I've just been doing a few bug fixes around the RSBNB website.
Yes, and I really, really hope that they give us a double dungeon XP and token weekend. That would be awesome!
Yeah, it would. I'd have to go and probably get 80 dungeoneering during that. It could probably be done within a weekend. I'm like level 74 now, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're not saying that's happening. That's just what we'd like to happen, because it's happened before. So,
yes, that was a great weekend.
I think we're finished for this episode of RSBNB Update, unless you have anything else.
No, nothing. Keep up the work in the skill of the month, and do your rune span, because I know it's very addicting.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye bye. Good night.